Paul Podcast Network.
Welcome to Arts on Air, a podcast featuring an eclectic mix of writers, artists, musicians, and other creative thinkers whose work explores dimensions of culture, spirit, community, and commitment. I'm Debbie Holton. Join me as I engage each about their own creative journey, their inspirations, and the one thing they feel is most important that we must know. Welcome. In this introductory podcast, I'll give you an idea about the kinds of questions I'll be asking my guests by putting myself through the paces, so to speak. First, you'll hear a short biography, which will go something like this. My guest today is Debbie Wood Holton, an associate professor at DePaul University's School for New Learning, where she teaches courses that include topics in American literature and drama, culture and creativity. She's a graduate from the theater department at Howard University, where she focused on playwriting. She received her master's in English from Atlanta University and a PhD from the University of Wisconsin-Madison in American Theater Studies. A former director of education at the DuSable Museum and archivist at the Vivian Harsh Collection for African American History and Literature here in Chicago, she has served as writer-in-residence for the District of Columbia, and as dramaturg for the Great Lakes Shakespeare Festival in Cleveland and the Chicago Theater Company. Her publications include essays about dramatic literature and adult learning, as well as poetry and fiction. She's a founding fellow at the Black Earth Institute, a progressive think tank dedicated to reforging the links between art and spirit, earth and society. Next, I'll ask my guest about the events or themes in their life that brought them to their life's work now. When I think about the personal journey that I've taken to get me to today, I think about intentions, whether they were consciously or subconsciously acted upon, but intentions nevertheless. When I think about what brought me to today, I think that the chronological listings don't always tell the story. And that's why I think this is a good question to ask. When I write, my intention is to promote peace, compassion, and healing through the transformative power of the word. I believe this was my intention, whether I knew it or not, early on. I gravitate to the West African concept of nomo, that which playwright Paul Carter Harrison has defined as the life force within the word that manifests action and consequence. Whether in essays, short stories, poems, or plays, it is the power of nomo that interests me. Words that can conjure emotions, heal us, and connect us with the divine. This is a statement that I have on the BreakthroughWriting.com website. And I wanted to share that with you because I think, as I've said, intentions are really something that we may not even be aware of, but we act on nevertheless. It's not unusual that I'd be moved by some spiritual underpinning, that transformative aspect. Both parents of mine come from spiritual stock. On both sides, we have founders of churches and people of the cloth. So it's not unusual. And that connection between the arts and spirit has also been there for me. My father is a visual artist and has painted all my life, that I've always known him as a painter. And my mother as well is a musician. And when my sister and I grew up, we often had to perform her compositions for family and friends. And looking back at it now, we get a lot of joy from those memories and still remember the music. So we've always been surrounded by, my sister and myself, the arts, whether it be visual, music, the written word, the spoken word. We've always been infused with that, and that's had a very strong connection for me spiritually. Intentions, though, often best intentions don't necessarily meet up with reality. And so I think, too, that I've had great fortune in being able to become what I've felt that I've needed. When I was a playwright, I felt I needed something that didn't exist at the time, and that was a dramaturg. And so I went off to Wisconsin and became a dramaturg. Later, I wanted to expand and draw on my knowledge of African and African-American history and literature, and sought to work at DuSable and the Harsh Collection, and later at DePaul's School for New Learning, where I could share that desire, that thirst, my own hunger for knowledge, and share what I knew at the same time. More recently, I have been engaged in a creative writing project, and I talk about it a little bit on Ruth Gannon Cook's podcast. I think it's podcast number 5, where I talk about archetypes. But anyway, that work I've been involved in led me to merge my scholarly self with my creative self. And so I feel I've come full circle, really, in becoming not only what I need to be, but also in making my intentions as clear and as transformative as possible, which is really a significant part of my fiction work at this time. I've always been curious about what inspires creative people. And so I'll ask each of my guests about the inspirational well from which they drink. I can say that there are 3 women writers that have held quite a bit of power for me, that have served and continue to serve as inspirations for me. I began my own writing inspired by myths and rituals and polyrhythms found in African and the African-American aesthetic traditions. I realized early on that I am a storyteller, a griot, a jelly daughter. And these women stand apart for me as jelly daughters, too. When I was in graduate school down in Atlanta, I claimed Zora Neale Hurston as my literary ancestor. Her determination to be an integrated artist, scholar, writer at all costs was inspiring then, and it's even more inspiring for me now. Around that same time, I think Toni Morrison claimed me. I did my master's thesis on Morrison's first 3 novels, and her language never ceases to amaze me. It's so rich, so poetic. Her characters are so complex. I come away with even more questions when I read her work. I'm haunted by her characters, and yet she always leaves me satisfied. And then while I was finishing my PhD in Wisconsin, I had an opportunity to meet Octavia Butler, and her work claimed me too. I just found her an amazing individual. Had a chance to have lunch with her at the conference with a few others, and found her personality so engaging, and the fact that she was working at the time in a genre that very few Black women were, I don't think any at the time, were writing, science fiction, and yet using science fiction as a way to tell stories about race and gender and oppression really made a lot of sense to me. And so I can see that in my own work as being very inspiring.
You're listening to Arts on Air on the DePaul Podcast Network.
And now for the more challenging question, I think. What one thing do you want us to know? Recently, when I was interviewing a couple of the Black Earth Fellows for upcoming podcast shows, they turned the tables on me and asked me what one thing would I want people to know. And my response was, and is right now, that love is hard. Love is not television. Love is not what we see in the movies. Love is not what we see in magazines. Love is, to me, extremely difficult. And it takes perseverance and persistence and a lot of compassion for oneself to achieve the kind of love that embraces all of humanity. I kind of think of it like, because I'm on this kick now, I think of it as
a spiritual ab crunching. Love is like getting down on the floor and crunching those abs out. It's just that hard. It is just that transforming, and it takes just that kind of work. Of course, for some, those crunches aren't difficult at all. You just get down and do them. But for many of us, and I include myself in there, it's really something that requires a lot of nurturance and care, loving care, and loving care for oneself, being compassionate to oneself, loving oneself. It's just not easy. And I do feel very strongly that unless you love yourself, you can't love others. So it's life's work, I think. And it should be so easy that we see the results on the outside. But I think when you can look at someone and see yourself in that person, not trying to make that person become you, which I think is not what love is, but rather see that facet of that individual as someone who has a story to tell, someone who can enrich your life by their very presence, reflecting back some aspect of you. That, I think, is really when we are moving in the right spiritual direction. That's what I think love is about, moving in the right spiritual direction, moving with intention toward compassion, trying to transform our world into something better. It's hard work. It's work you have to get up every day and be consciously aware of. But if we can have some grace, we can ask for grace, then we can receive that grace, and maybe our task will be a little easier. Love is hard. It's worth the effort. That's it. That's my one thing. And then we'll finish with a few shameless plugs about my guest's work and take it from there. For example, you can find some of my work in Staging Difference, a book about cultural pluralism in American theater and drama. Also in Jump Up and Say, a collection of stories from storytellers around the globe. And Black Theater, Ritual Performance in the African Diaspora, which is a collection of essays. You can also check out these websites, breakthroughwriting.com, that's BREAKTHRU. WRITING.com and the BlackEarthInstitute.org. That's Black Earth Institute, one word. My guest today has been Debbie Wood Holton, the host of Arts on Air, just as a way to get you acquainted with the format of this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed what she's had to say and that you'll come back and join us next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of Arts on Air. The theme music you hear, Cherimoya Groove, was produced by Debbie Wood Holton and Arnold Graham. Special thanks go to Bob Rottenberg in the Anthropology Department, DePaul University. If you'd like to contact me, Debbie Holton, please send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. You can find me at artsonair@gmail.com. I hope you'll join us next time on Arts on Air, the DePaul Podcast Network. Bye-bye.